Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this, the Planning Control Committee of the North Harvest District Council. We're at the Spotlight Building, and on the date of the 15th of March 2018, and approximately 7:30. We have an automated publication for the first time.
I can't hear you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Spotlight Ballroom. Please note the fire exits that are situated in the three corners of this room and are indicated by the green Running Man symbol. In the event of evacuation, please do not use the lifts. In a fire emergency, a continuous warning tone will operate. Should this happen, you must leave the building by the nearest fire exit and assemble at the far side of the car park. Arrangements are in place for the safe evacuation of mobility impaired persons. Please speak to supervisor staff in order that the emergency procedures can be explained. The entire Spotlight complex is a no-smoking area. Should you wish to smoke, it will be necessary to leave the building. An induction loop facility is available for hearing aid users. Please turn your hearing aid to the T or telephone setting. To avoid disruption of performances, members of the audience are asked to turn off all mobile devices. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go straight into the meeting then. Firstly, apologies. I have apologies from Councillors John Bishop, Paul Clark and Ian Mantle. And I'd like to welcome Councillor Terry Tyler, who's substituted for Councillor Clark. Councillors, you will receive the minutes of the meeting of the 17th of January. I hope you have time to peruse our own comments, or may I take them as read? Thank you very much. I have no notification of business. Members of the public and press may use their devices to film a photograph or do a sound recording of the meeting, but please raise your hand to let me know that you're doing this so that I can inform all present. Please do not use flash and disable any beeps or sound notifications that may emit from your device. In addition, can I remind all that in line with council policy, this meeting is being audio recorded. Can speakers please wait until they have a microphone before speaking? Please could members, officers and public speakers announce their names each time they speak and speak directly into the microphones to assist members of the public. Now, to clarify matters for the registered speakers, members of the public have 5 minutes for each group of speakers, i.e. 5 minutes for objectors and 5 minutes for supporters. This 5 minute time limit also applies to member advocates. The bell will sound after 4.5 minutes as a warning and again at 5 minutes to signify that the speaker has ceased. Members are reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out in the agenda should be declared as either a disclosable peculiar interest or declarable interest, and are required to notify the chairman of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable peculiar interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest, which requires they leave the room under paragraph 7.4 of the Code of Conduct, can speak on the item but must leave the room before the debate is over. We have a number of speakers on the different items this evening, and with your permission, I will introduce them as we get to the items in question. And so, straight into item number 6, then, which is page 1 of your documents, and that is to consider land adjacent to Elm Tree Farm, Handwich Way, Burton, and it's the construction management plan and traffic management plan. And to introduce it, I'd like to welcome Simon Dennis.
Thank you, Chairman, and good evening, members. Just to introduce colleagues on my left, Sanjay Seni from Hertfordshire County Council Highway Authority, and Lindsay McCauley from Opus International Consultants, who are employed to advise the Highway Authority. And they're here to answer any questions on some of the highway matters. So that updates, I refer members to paragraph 1.34 of the report, which states that at the time that this report was written, There had not been a start date for the combined appeals against the two earlier decisions of this committee to refuse construction management plans using the Holwell in and out route for construction traffic to this site, I have an update on this matter in the planning inspector to inform the council of the start date on the 6th of March 2018. The appeals will be considered together, but separate decisions will be made on each appeal by the appointed planning inspector. The appeal procedure has been confirmed as written representations of both appeals. All interested parties have been informed and have been advised how they can make their written comments to the planning inspector. The council has until the 10th of April to provide any additional statement of case, but committee reports and decision notices have already been sent to the inspector. The council also has until the 19th of March, which is next Monday, that's been extended from the 13th of March, to respond in full to the appellant's application for a full award of costs against the authority. Just turning to the slides, if I may. First of all, slide one, the sign proposed at each end of the construction route, warning drivers that this is a construction route. Couldn't be clearer than what it is. This is slide two. This is the electronic warning sign to be placed at either end of the sharpest bend more to the rear end. That's triggered when large vehicles trigger the warning, and then you can see that from either side. Overview of the construction. You've seen this before because you've considered this application before. Well, not this application, you've considered this construction before, so you can see the route in and out of Holwell onto the site. These more detailed plans we've also looked at before. These have been on the website for some time now. They show you the position of the new passing places. They're outlined in green. And then there's one more, which is outlined in red. That's on the Waterloo Lane bend. That is an informal passing place that doesn't need any further works to it. It's identified as a possible passing place. So those are the slides. So I'll just give an overview and some concluding remarks. This is effectively the same application that was presented to this committee on the 28th of September 2018, with additional measures which I shall outline. It should come as no surprise that the recommendation is for approval, subject to completion of the associated Section 278 agreement between the applicant and the Highway Authority, to secure the delivery of the additional passing places, as that was the recommendation presented to you at the meeting on the 28th of September 2017, so it should come as no surprise to anyone in this room that the recommendation is the same. The additional mitigation that has been presented to this committee before are highlighted under paragraph 4.2.2, which I will highlight now. Sorry, this is additional mitigation that has not been presented to this committee before, just to correct that. So one, signs installed each end of the route warning this is a construction route. Two, long vehicle detector signs placed on each side of the sharpest bend on Waterloo Lane. Three, 1 week notice required for vehicles greater than 10 metres in length to inform the Highway Authority who may require temporary road closures or use of escort vehicles. Four, use of remote polling bays on the A1 rather than the A600 as previously proposed to even further away from the site. So those are the four additional measures that have been presented to you this evening that were not contained in the previous recommendation presented to you on 28 September 2017. Members now have to decide if these proposed additional mitigation measures are sufficient to overcome the refusal of the previous application presented on the 28th of September 2018. If members are minded to support the recommendation, then as is set out in recommendation 6.3 on page 17, I can then inform the planning inspectorate relating to the outstanding appeals that it is these additional mitigation measures that have now persuaded the committee to resolve to approve this current construction management plan subject to the safeguards set out in paragraph 6.1. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. We have John Herbin and Brian Clamp, who would like to address the committee.
My name is John Burden. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I represent HACT, Hold Against Cargo Traffic, and speak on behalf of the objectors from Burden and Holwell. The committee is once again in an invidious position. We are not against the housing development in principle, but we are very concerned that the officer seems blind to the real impact on safety posed by the substantial increase in heavy traffic, averaging 1 every 6 minutes for 3 years, plus the score of additional vehicles serving the site. We all know that the route through Holborn Village is severely substandard, with its narrow lanes and blind bends. It is only fit to carry single file traffic over most of its length, so the potential for further two-way conflict for more vehicles is very high. Lorries already mount the footbridge illegally in Purton Road, as the submitted photographs show, but no mitigation measures are proposed here. To cope, the route requires significant improvements in width and alignment. This has been ruled out by Highways and Carlin because it would mean widening the road beyond current boundaries. Very limited widening is proposed, but not where it is most needed. Thus, the route will remain much as it is today, totally unsuitable for this unprecedented increase in heavy traffic. Carlin and Highways have dismissed the use of traffic lights, a common solution in this situation, because it is too narrow within existing highway boundaries. Thus, approaching vehicles cannot pass waiting vehicles safely at the stop lines. So now, long vehicle detector signs are proposed, but these merely warn of approaching large vehicles ahead. This will not prevent conflict, as the drivers cannot see each other, and there is no room to pull over on the narrow section of Waterloo Lane. The signs will not eliminate conflict and will substantially increase the probability of HGVs, buses and other vehicles reversing dangerously around blind bends. With no prospect of adequate road widening nor of adequate signing, the only option remaining to follow is the manual management of construction traffic. To overcome this problem, CARLA has submitted a flawed tracking analysis. Their modelling assumes that they can control all traffic flows and that all their vehicles will be in the right place at the right time and be the right size to avoid conflict with each other and the local bus service, which doesn't run on time. Their tracking diagrams are stage managed, showing vehicles specifically placed in the passing places to allow another vehicle to pass. Other road users, including cyclists, horse riders and pedestrians, have been completely ignored. How absurd is this? We all know that traffic flow is random in reality. It cannot be controlled other than by competent road design and signing. The phrase, on a wing of prayer, comes to mind. Independent tracking, commissioned by HAC, shows that the route is incapable of safely accommodating the two-way passage of heavy vehicles, but Highways have misguidedly endorsed Carla's doctor's tracking analysis. Highways propose that they should be given authority under the 278 agreement to agree measures that will satisfy the removal of Condition 6. How can we trust Highways to do this properly? They have already agreed that the most appropriate mitigation measures are ruled out because of refusal to use third-party land. It is the same reason why the off-road route has not been investigated properly, as the committee requested previously. This is a safer, more efficient, and feasible alternative. It is plainly evident that there is no material change from the application that was refused by this committee in September. The fear of an appeal should not be a reason for approving this application. There is only one conclusion to be drawn from the circumstances before us. Condition 6 cannot be discharged with the prospect of a serious risk to public liability and the public purse or injury or loss incurred. Should Condition 6 be removed in the face of all the evidence to the contrary, penalties must be enforced if demonstrable harm to safety and efficiency occur. But CARLA and Highways are convinced that the outcome will satisfy Condition 6, so failing that, a safeguarding procedure must be in place to stop all construction under a stop notice. CARLA would then be compelled to overcome the failings until the stop notice is lifted. Such an amendment should be agreed and secured before Condition 6 is removed. Unless such a deterrent be introduced, the application should be refused outright for the following reason, which far from being weak, as the officers imply, is readily justifiable. One sentence, thank you. The proposals do not demonstrate with reliable evidence that the efficiency and safety of this severely substandard construction route will be maintained within acceptable standards, and the reason is policy teamwork. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, do you have questions or clarification on the presentation that you just heard?
Can I just say, Chair, that Brian Clapp is a very experienced public engineer who's ready to answer any more technical questions or any questions. We would love the questions.
Councillor Steers Hammond.
Thank you, Chairman. It was referring to Mr. Clapp's report that we have in front of us. And it's just a couple of questions I'd like to ask which relate to the presentation we just heard. Now, referring to, as Mr. Adams put it up, the informal passing place in Waterloo Nine, what Mr. Clapper said in his presentation is that it will be impossible without reversing to actually use that as a passing place. Now, am I right in thinking that this is the part of Waterloo Nine that's on a very steep incline? And I wonder if Mr. Clapper could comment on that. I'm referring to the informal passing play. I see you haven't got your papers in front of you. I should refer to the drawing. It's on page 39 for members, inset 6. It relates to the informal passing place. And I'm pretty interested that you said that there's a great difficulty with that particular passing place in two large lorries passing each other there, or two large vehicles. What isn't clear from the diagram is that's a very steep incline at that point. So I wonder if you could comment on the additional difficulty that would cause.
Yeah, can I explain? The colour tracking actually shows a heavy lorry stationary in the bay with another lorry passing, which is okay. But in reality, there's going to be no control over the timing of the lorries approaching that passing bay. There's no intervisibility, and there's no guidance as to which lorry should pull over and which should pass. There is no substitute, really, other than each side of the sharp bends to have a stop line with traffic lights that control the two-way operation of a single lane. But without the ability to widen each end of the double bend to allow a waiting vehicle to wait and a approaching vehicle to pass, unless that's provided each end, which it can't be in the case of the vehicle actuator signs proposed, traffic lights will not be effective and they'll be useless. There's simply nowhere for random traffic of the size proposed to pass freely along that particular sector and indeed other straight sectors.
Thank you.
So, really, we can't rely on vehicles being of the right type in the right place at the right time. It just will not work.
Thank you.
Then my second question is related. Most of the focus is on Waterloo Lane and the measures that have been proposed for there. But of course, we know that Purton Road and the corner from Purton Road into Holwell Road are also very narrow, first of all, the Purton Road, and the corner is quite difficult for a large vehicle to get around. Would you comment on how suitable, if we've sorted out Waterloo Lane, how suitable the rest of the route would be for such traffic?
Well, even these heavy traffics travelling in a straight line produce problems because of the width of the road. As soon as they begin to turn, they take up a much wider width to contain the geometry of the vehicle. They cannot turn suddenly into a bay and suddenly out of the bay. That movement has to be very, very gradual.
Thank you.
And I think
I should interchange a little bit here. The questions that we're asking at this moment are the questions on the presentation that we've had. We were introducing the new subjects.
Indeed, but we will be submitting questions for the applicant when that comes forward. I wanted to make sure we have the information.
That's right. I didn't stop you for the reason that it is really important that we need to point that out. Catherine Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Clarence. I think if I could put words in your mouth a bit, she was saying there wasn't sufficient tapering in the parcel places. That's according to your submission. So for the easy entrance and egress of vehicles. But correct me if I'm wrong, I have a larger question for you both, which is the submission from Holwell is that it's a tortuous and unsuitable route. We read in our submissions from you that you feel calculations that have been done to show that this is a safe route are actually using dimensions of lorries and vehicles which are too small, and so therefore they cannot easily get around. As has been shown, and I will give Opus a chance to comment on this in due course. But can you tell the assembled councillors a little bit more about what you found out about the dimensions that have been used in the calculations that our sideways basically settled for?
Well, if you look at the details in the submission by Carl, you will see that previously, the average route, the average width of the vehicle is 12 metres. That has now been reduced to 10 metres. Sorry?
If it's 12 metres wide, it's
very wide. Sorry, this is the length, sorry. The length has now been reduced to 10 metres. Regarding the width, the maximum width of the lorry, normal maximum width, is 2.55 metres. The lorries tested in the tracking of Baikala, they are only 2.5. Now, the Carla do allow an extra 0.3 metres, one foot, around the vehicle, which is presumably to accommodate the wing mirrors, which are not included in the 2.55. But in addition to wing mirrors, you also need clearance between the actual vehicles, and clearance between the vehicle and the verge and the footpath, particularly the footpath, because the overhang would be running over the footpath and therefore pedestrians will be at risk. When you allow for all these additional widths, even on the straight, you find that the vast majority of the route will not take two-way heavy traffic. And around the bends, the width is very much greater.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I think I've been a little bit allowing here. We've strayed a little bit from the questions on your presentation, but I think it was important to do so that you could actually explain a little bit more about the circumstances. And thank you for that. Thank you, James. That's good. Thank you. Now to welcome Councillor Claire Strong, who will be speaking as a member advocate.
Good evening, members. I'm surely not surprised to see you back here again on this application and its construction traffic route. You've heard a very eloquent presentation from the group from Holborn who are against the Carlow construction traffic, and who have themselves used a very senior engineer for him to give the opinion on the revised plans that have now come in. You are being asked now, particularly in your papers in 4.3.9, as to whether or not you feel that this construction route in and out of Holborn, with the mitigations before you in this new plan, take away all the safety issues that there are with this route. Now, as it was pointed out, this is only really focused on Waterloo Lane and the bend at the bottom. There is nothing in these revised mitigations that even talks about the narrowness of the road on Purton Road, nor does it address, and this was put in Carla's own highway engineer, who looked at the route trying to say what they felt this, how safe this route was, who actually drew attention to the fact that the turning into Olwa Village from the A6000 was very unsafe because there had been a number of accidents there. In fact, we've had fatalities there. In the history of the A600 road, when they built the crematorium, the North Wales crematorium, just up the road from us, highways engineers made that development have significant improvements to the junction of the A6000 road, the Bedford Road. None of that has been proposed to bring construction traffic in and out through the area. This road is a 60-mile-an-hour road. So there's the safety issue there, just not been addressed. Today, when I was looking out my window, yet again, I saw the bus waiting outside my house, as it often does, because there's a stopping pinch point there. And this wasn't actually a large construction vehicle that's trying to pass it. It was a highways vehicle, in fact. All getting out with the window on the side. And the only way it could get past the bus was to mount the pavement, which is illegal. You've got a number of photographs and there are a number of pictures around showing what happens when we have all this construction traffic coming through. You have previously twice refused this construction management plan, and I'm asking that you do it again, because that will add weight to the appeal that was going to be heard on the previous application. The inspector will then have to make the decision, rather than yourselves, rather than the officers and whatnot. This is a safe route. The inspector will then be able to look at it and decide whether or not the safety grounds throughout this construction management plan have been met. I think the first time I came to this committee, and we talked about how the construction traffic would get to the site, we did talk about an off-road option that didn't go through the hearts of the two villages. That option still exists. That option does not seem to be being progressed. I really would like to understand why Carla Holmes have not gone forward and looked at the safest option to the two villages, which is not to take construction traffic through it. It's not a, it's just sort of a difficulty that I understand at the time the planning application came in and it was an outline plan that was granted. Probably nobody was even thinking of where the construction traffic and how it would get to this site. And it's perhaps something in future applications, the planning committee perhaps does need to think more strongly. Think of some of the other construction that's going on around our district. Look at the ones in Hitchin on Capon Lake, up where the up at the top there. All the verges absolutely destroyed. And those are quite wide roads. These are narrow lanes. These were not built for construction traffic to come through. They weren't even really built for farm vehicles to come through, except for those that were a horse and cart. So to actually start putting all these big vehicles through is really going to have a devastating effect on the community. I really do ask you, have the courage of your convictions that you had before, refuse it again, let it go to appeal, and let the inspector decide whether or not this is a safe route for construction traffic. I think the strength of the appeal hearing, where we will have representation there from the council, it needs to have this third refusal as well, with that actually shows that these have not been mitigated. Thank you.
Speak on behalf of the application.
To condition 6 following the grant of our one plan commission approved by the Study Committee on 27th May 2016. The area of long-standing concern relates to the routing of cars construction traffic. Before reviewing this detail, it's important to re-familiarise ourselves with the wording of condition 6 and what we are reasonably and legally obligated to deliver. On a literal interpretation, the condition requires complex details that are within the car's ownership and control. In addition, the condition requires details of construction vehicle routing to and from site. The latter part of this condition, which is subject to localised concern, clearly falls outside the car's control, and therefore the information submitted to discharge as part of the condition is for information purposes only. Indeed, issuing notes of the outline plan would not require any specific mitigation measures in relation to the routing of construction traffic. Had such mitigations been required, the policy test under paragraph 206 of the National Planning Council framework should have been exercised at that point in time. It is therefore not fair and reasonable to impose additional mitigation measures on Carver that are not clearly defined within the condition. This is supported by opinion from leading Queen's Council in the village. I note that under paragraph 5.3 of the committee report, the council's independent finance barrister supports our QC's opinion. Notwithstanding this, Carver continued to listen and engage with North Partnership Council and Highways officers to bring forward a construction management plan that goes above and beyond the literal interpretation of condition 6. The mitigation measures proposed for highway controlled land, which fall outside of Carver's control and outside the limits of the planning condition, represent a clear demonstration by Carver of our intent to deliver a construction management plan that is acceptable to members of this committee. Members will recall the Special Planning Committee on 28th September, where a refusal against the officer's recommendation was made on the chairman's casting vote. During this intervening period between then and now, Carver have been engaged with ACC, Opus International, and Wingway to develop a further package of additional mitigation measures to address members' previous concerns. Our road safety appraisal, undertaken by Mayor Brain, who are expert witnesses of public inquiries, conclude the use of the road by construction traffic for the period of works is not likely to result in any material increase in risk to road users. Furthermore, the stage on safe orbit, the proposed passing base states, the auditors consider that no material increase in the risk of road users will arise as a result of the proposals as submitted. Indeed, the audit team consider that these proposals provide the benefit to road users in terms of road safety and to the existing users' bypasses. Lastly, and to conclude, HEC's contracting response to Carlos is on 27th February 2018 states the information submitted within this application is similar to previous submissions, which recommends approval, and has addressed comments made on previous versions, which were made with recommended refusal. On this basis, providing the following are agreed, HCC would not raise an objection to discharge condition 6. Members, I appreciate that it is difficult to acknowledge the fact that Carver have gone above and beyond the strict requirements of condition 6 in order to secure a localised consent. Despite our best endeavours, we still do not support Lotta's recommendation. Fundamentally, the recommendation in front of you this evening does not discharge the condition, and it is conditional upon a 278 agreement being entered into and agreed with County Highways. As such, the recommendation is a further attempt to frustrate the discharge of condition 6 in a clean manner that prevents further from being implemented straight away, including the delivery of family homes, affordable housing and planning contributions that will end in excess of £1 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions or clarification of the presentation that you just heard?
Yes, on the record, could you state again, because some of what you said wasn't completely clear, that the you had any other person you said who looked at the route and said, I'm not talking about the state, but said your consultant. Could you tell us again who that was?
So we had Mayor Brown undertake a road safety assessment report, which concluded that the route was acceptable for construction traffic for all road users at this time, which is a part of our original CMP, part of our two appeals, and has been refreshed with the additional mitigation measures proposed tonight and resubmitted as part of this application.
Thank you.
I hope, Chairman, as you go anyway to the...
don't take advantage.
Well, no, but to be fair to the applicant, I wonder if I can ask some other questions to the expert that the applicant's brought forward. We, as you know, we have in front of us a report from Mr. Clan and his view. Now, the mitigation measures that we're talking about this evening, particularly I'm thinking of the effect on water and land. Mr. Clamp advised us that in his submission that it would be impossible to actually use that as a passing place without expanding the passing place to allow real traffic to go through, if I put it that way. I don't know if your expert would like to comment on that.
Obviously my view opposes that, based on our assessment of it, we consider that area is sufficient to accommodate vehicles to pass.
I'll just kind of ask you, please, if we really do need to be fair, and that would require from no police. I understand this emergency.
Chairman, I'd just like to say, please, as part of that response back, is that subject to the 278 agreement, the exact size and detail of those passing bays would be agreed with council.
Thank you.
Following on from that, in terms of the flashing signs that indicate bays, the suggestion I think from Mr. Clamp is that if somebody, a large vehicle, came up against one of those signs, it would be nowhere safe for them to stop. And, for example, it might mean in Burton Road that vehicles would have to cross onto the pavement, as we've already been suggested by Councillor Strong, in order to actually pass safely. And it might be very difficult. Now, could your engineer comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, there are advanced signs, so vehicles approaching would activate them, and any vehicle approaching at that time would be warned to the vehicle on the approach, so they'll be able to take avoiding action.
For anyone who knows that, I'm afraid actually, but the point is that there isn't anywhere you can stop, just in front of where that sign is at the beginning of Waterloo Lane. And that's, I know, what worries, certainly worries myself, reading the report.
Yes, but the activation would be at the stage where there's the passing bay. So, it was activated in one way, the vehicle could pass in, actually went in the passing bay. And there's also a slight access widening as you come down from the left hand side and travelling towards the north, where a vehicle could pull over slightly to one side and enable another vehicle to pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. You have three questions now. Okay, I'd like now to invite Mr. Ellis to respond.
If I may, Chair, I'm going to respond to the detailed highway comments from various consultants. That's why we've asked Hertfordshire County Council and their consultants to come along and answer your questions today, so I'll leave that to questions. I will just clarify upon a procedure on the appeal. Councillor Strong said it would be a hearing and the council would be represented at that hearing if you were to refuse the application to continue the existing appeals. As I said at the beginning of the meeting, the planning inspectorate for the current appeals has confirmed that it's written representations and that the council's deadline to submit its written comments to the appeals is the 10th of April. So it's not a hearing. So there won't be a council representative at the hearing. That's the clarification on that point. Thank you.
The whole thing, Judge, I deliver around.
Sir, do you wish to be removed?
I'm going to get
you. We'll have you removed, sir. We will have you removed. We will have you removed, sir. Thank you very much.
You need to decide. Will you
please,
you need to decide on safety, not on anything.
Will you please resist?
Living in that area.
Will you please resist?
I don't know if the sentence makes sense, but I'm trying to make sense of it. The applicant acknowledged this is a long-load vehicle. This is related to larger vehicles and will be subject to prior agreement with the County Council. May require a temporary traffic regulation order or require an escort. Now, I don't know what that means. Does that mean the road will be closed for a day? Or what's the implications of... And I understand there are going to be a number of these very large vehicles, either extra width or extra length going through the village.
Could you answer this?
Yes, certainly. Right. There are a number of points which has been raised. First of all, in reference to the passing places, at the moment, what has been submitted by Carla Holmes is a concept. This will be under subject to Section 278, legal agreement, whereby Carla Holmes will be providing further details, which will be looked into and take it from there. The Section 278, in reference to the safety of it, there will be Stage 2, Stage 3 safety orders will be undertaken as part of that Section 278. Now, in reference to the overall route, in terms of the safety, there was a road safety appraisal which was undertaken on the 27th of October 2017. And it does not really, what it concluded was that it is safe to for usage of vehicles. In terms of that. Now, where you have 10 meters, you're got right, beyond 10 meters in length vehicles, that will be escorted. What does that mean? Escorted means is there will be people escorting throughout the route of the route. Throughout the route, they safely. Yeah. That means a smaller vehicle will be in front.
So you're the road will be closed.
That's right.
Obstructions will be removed where it's on the highway land. Now, some of the obstructions will be on private land, so if we're going to make this route safe. What happens when the obstructions are on private land? Is that something we just have to bring them there, or what happens?
When you say obstruction on the highway land?
I'm talking about to get visibility to allow these large vehicles to go through, and that the obstructions on private land. Will the Highway Authority be making applications to private landowners to remove the obstructions?
Well, the Highway Authority can only work what is in the Highway Act.
Okay. And my final question is, Councillor Strong referred to the junction with the 0600 and the fact that that's a very unsafe junction. It's just at the brow of a hill. Cars very often go down there at 60 miles an hour. As she said, when the cemetery, the crematorium was built, the road had to be widened there. Do you feel that junction will be safe for the sort of volume of construction traffic?
Well, We can only rely on the safety road which has been undertaken for the route itself from A600.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Spencer Smith.
Thank you. I wonder about this safety audit on the 28th of October 17. Mr. Clamber has said that these audits seem fine, but they are auditing current traffic conditions, not what is proposed. And just to remind us, we're looking at these lorries every 6 minutes. So that's my first point. My second point is, we hear that we have heard from two experts tonight, Waterman's and also Eric Mayer, signed on the route. And yet, you've seen, and you can look around and see it's right there on the Purple Rail route, in front of, just before the village hall, of, by the pinch point, where two lorries can pass. This is on a straight bit, let alone not bending around the corner. This is the existing situation. A lorry will have to go up on the pavement. That if there's a family living very close there with three school aged children, this is what causes the doubt in my mind, and I suspect in other members' minds, how can this have been signed off by two different road traffic safety experts? How can it be? To do a couple more points here. So there's a bit outside the village hall there. We have the Waterloo lane turning with those big laurels there. Now, as the councillor has said, yes, there's talk about cutting back vegetation, etc. here. But can you cut back things on private land? That's by no means certain. We also have the work that's been done by Mr. Clamp to show that these parking spaces, which would be built, there isn't quite enough room on a couple of them, well, actually probably three or four of them, but certainly two of them there isn't enough room. Because highways only owns a certain proportion of land, a couple of metres outside of the road. So I just wonder if this is wishful thinking, what we're being told. There is also the question of the detector signs being said, yes, that is an improvement, but there's still got to be the backing up. Imagine members would have been to this road, imagine they're going into Hollow, they get to the moat house on the right, they see a sign, they're careful, they know something might be coming, they're not sure, they go around and they still have to be backing up, which is just not safe, backing up around corners. So I'm afraid I am not convinced. And I shall not be
in reference to the road safety audits, these are independent road safety audits. Independent means they are not in connection with the applicant or the highway authority itself. So whatever the conclusions have been undertaken, that's taken on board. What are the accidents that has happened in the past, and on that basis, and what's the likelihood, that is the conclusion of road safety audits. In terms of the passing places, there has been a concept in terms of the swap path analysis, which has been undertaken. The assessment is a 10-meter long rigid truck to and from the site, which has been provided alongside with the private vehicle and the bus. Now, And this is the concept, as I already mentioned, and it will be subject to 278. We will be closely looking at the details.
Thank you. Councillor Tarr.
Yes, I've heard reference to an alternate route. Nobody's actually mentioned it anymore since Claire mentioned it. I believe there is an alternate route. I was just wondering whether it's been considered, because it's not come up again, and if it has been considered, why it was rejected. A cross-country route.
I'm not sure that we can actually discuss that at the moment. What we have in front of us is the plan which has been proposed, and we must make a decision on the efficacy of that plan. There is not an alternative on the table. Yeah, please.
I would like to answer this question, because this is something that the alternative route has not been put forward by the applicant. However, there was an inquiry from the parish council to the highway authority in a reference to an existing track from Hitchin Road that was explored by us, and it was considered that not a viable option, as it involved third party land, involved existing bridle way, rights of way, and upgrading of the track with a considerable expense to accommodate large construction vehicles. So we did not think that was viable.
Thank you.
Councillor
Sellersfield, you want to come back?
Could you explain to us? I don't understand why Highways has to give a view on that. It's on private land. If the landowner is agreeable to it, and the lawyers can go over, they probably made up a whole road, such as was made for to bypass Holbrook at the time that the waste pit run by Federal was done. I don't see why Highways should effectively have a veto on that. Can you explain?
I'll allow an answer on this problem, but can I just bring back in line the fact that we have a proposal in front of us, and there are no alternatives that we are debating this evening. So I'll be rude to say that that is. Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask for some clarification? 6.1.1 says that if we give an okay to condition number 6 tonight, it will not be discharged until the applicant has secured the necessary S278 agreement with Hertfordshire County Council of Highways in order to implement the highways alterations to secure the proposed passing places and signage, including associated safety audits and highway license. How strong is an S278 to make sure that the requirements are carried out and the extra mitigations that have been put in will be carried out?
Mr. Sutherland was nervous.
We may both answer that, Chairman. I mean, that 6.11 was the same recommendation that was put to you on the 28th of September 2017. And the purpose of it is to make sure, as Engineer Sammy said earlier, the details of the passing places in the highway works are concept drawings. And it's not until it's been agreed with the highway implementation team through Section 278 agreement, the exact dimensions and the exact design of the passing places is finalised and then constructed. The purpose of that recommendation 6.11 is to give the committee reassurance that the condition won't be discharged until all of those details have been secured through the highway authority through the agreement. On the question of how robust is the Section 278 agreement? I'll pass that to Mr. Senate, but in essence, that is the highway authority, the implementation team, agreeing alterations to the highway and how they are designed by the highway authority in consultation with car owners. I mean, that's a robust process that is carried out with all off-site highway works carried out by developers.
Section 278 is a legal document and it is based upon the guidelines, the design guides, the national guidelines, that will be looked into all the detailed design work. And not only that, as I mentioned before, it's a road safety stage 2 and stage 3 will be undertaken so that the mitigating measures are set.
Okay, the question I'm just going to hear in a moment. we just had a new word introduced, a concept. What we have before us is a concept. But the dimensions of the design and the ultimate position of these passing places and so on are subject to further investigation and so on and so forth. So I'd like to ask the question, with the concept that we have before us, if it were to then go forward as a proposal of Section 278, and the dimensions and the design and the position is not possible due to the lack of ownership, what would happen?
Well, I answer that, Chairman. If you agree the recommendation and Section 278 agreement can't be completed, then you haven't discharged the condition. But back to where we were in September 2017. And the answer is, I'm not asking you to discharge the condition this evening. I'm asking you to resolve to discharge the condition subject to those technical processes being undertaken. If those technical processes aren't successful, then you still haven't discharged the condition. And Carla Hunt would need to come back with an alternative.
Thank you. Councillor Green, please. Could you have the microphone, please?
Thank you. I'm beginning to wonder whether Carla Holmes have even considered the villagers and their thriving villages. What we can hear is that when their signs are working, these people can reverse back up into a space. What happens if there's more than one vehicle? Do they all have to back up? I think this is quite a poor show for Carla Holmes.
Following up, if we were to approve the recommendation, the objectors made a point that should things go ahead and there be the Section 279 isn't followed, in other words, the management plan isn't followed, the possibility of a stop notice. Is that something that has to be additionally put in? Is that something that could be added to the recommendation?
Rose.
It's not within the power of this committee to impose a stop notice in a scenario where you don't even know the facts of how it might transpire. That's an impossible scenario. You can't say we will put a stop notice if certain elements of the construction management plan aren't fully adhered to, because you have to judge it at that time. And the planning authority acting as the enforcement authority, and would have to judge any breaches that may occur at that particular time. It's not for this committee today to say this is how we would enforce certain scenarios in the future.
Yeah, no, I think probably Brazil's good then.
I was just trying to follow up because it was mentioned in the presentation from the objector. I have to say, Chairman, I'm not convinced that anything has changed in terms of the my view of what the safety is, certainly in relation to the presentation from the highway engineers on both sides. And it seems to me that knowing the village as I do, and I'm not an expert, but looking at what an expert has written in terms of the possibility of making that route safe, those areas where there might be some mitigation measures and those areas where there clearly aren't going to be any mitigation measures because there can't be any. And so I would reiterate what we said under 4.3.2, and if it were for me, I would move that the wording in 4.3.2 is the as the resolution from this meeting, Chair.
Councillor Hartley.
Thank you, Chairman. One, two.
Yes.
I think when this first came to us, I was somewhat confused because the simple reason this kind of writing doesn't normally end up constructing a management plan for the planning committee is actually a condition as to be discharged between the developer and the highway authority. Now, I'm sitting here tonight thinking to myself, where have I had a writing called the MPPF in everything that we do these days? In fact, it's quite a slim document. It used to be a lot of paper once upon a time with filled rooms, but now we're working with a new animal that we have to adhere to under the letter of the law. Now, the Ministry of Transport exists, and government actually laid down two highways, a way of working that they have to adhere to. Now, I'm looking at this and thinking to myself, it's a country lane, yes. There are country lanes all over this country that are now being developed. And the simple fact is, any highways authority can't tell a developer to build a road across private land. All they can work with is what's presented to them. And this has been presented to them, and they've looked at it under their procedures, the same as we look at planning under ours, and come to a conclusion. Now, our officers are asking us, literally, by using the Section 278 implement, to actually, under 6.1, item 1, to actually put it back to the experts. It's their job to sort it out. Not our job to redesign roads, redesign housing. If we try to redesign a site, Chairman, the first thing you will say is that is not your brief. Your brief is to look at what's presented to you. Now, I've looked at this, and as on the original application, I said highways are the experts when it comes to this type of application. We're not. What we're being asked to do, and I can understand the passion involved, is throw something out that puts us in front of an inspector, and we're not the highways expert. We're actually be going into a lion's pit that we can guarantee from the opening that we're not the people that ought to be doing this. If anybody ought to be doing it, it ought to be highways if they think it's totally wrong and going against it. And they have told us in the past that they are against things, and they won't cry. Now, in this particular instance, I think our officer has come up with a conclusion that we literally, as on page 17, back this back to highways and get them to sort it out, because they have to comply with safety orders. They have to make it work. Now, in my opinion, Chairman, we can talk about redesigning roads and passing places and everything all evening. It's their job to sort it out, and I'm going to move the officer recommendation.
Councillor Muir.
I'm quite happy to second the recommendation. I do think it's a high level's job. That's what they're there for. And under this 278 agreement, they've got the power to refuse anything from Carla.
it's up to the highways and CALA to listen to the highways and come up with the best solution. If highways think that CALA hasn't done enough on this and it's not safely enough, then they will refuse it. So, you know, it is up to us to move the recommendation and give it back to highways, the proper authority for it.
Councillor Booth?
Thank you, Chairman. I've got two questions to put to highways. First is, there's been a lot of discussion about the different models. One at 2.5 metre width vehicles, one at 2.55. Would highways tell me how significant that difference is to a decision? And the second is that in the letter from highways, dated 27th of February on page 24, in this bullet point which they want answered in section 278 agreement. And I would ask Mario again whether these are important bullet points that they will insist on, particularly the one about the two-strike agreement, which, or two-strike system, which I presume means any driver or company who breaks the traffic management plan on two occasions, they're out. They will not be allowed back. Is that true? Thank you.
Councillor Tyler, any other comments?
I just mentioned, first of all, the two-strike system for drivers who do not arrive or depart via a designated construction route. Warning issued first, and then removal if the offender repeats this action. A traffic route will be issued to all contractors, suppliers, and visitors to the site. This process will be managed by a gateman who will be guiding vehicles into and out of the site and ensuring that they follow the correct route and also the correct schedule of arriving and departing the vehicles on site of the site. So the gateman will report afterwards to the site manager, who will keep a record. And in reference to the 2.55 and 2.5, so normally vehicles are 2.5 meter wide. When they are tracking or a sweat path analysis taken, it could be 2.55. It's very marginal, but the tracking system is 2.55.
Thank you. And we conclude our debate. Okay. I have a recommendation here, and that is to approve. It has been proposed by Councillor Hunter. It has been seconded by Councillor Ina. I'll put it to the vote now. Those in favour of the recommendation to approve, in using cards. And those against? Well, I'm going to stick with the recommendations that I have made in the past, and I think that we should be asking the inspector to make so.
Sorry, Chairman, I think you actually refused. You didn't vote to approve, so...
No, I actually voted to refuse, and then...
What reasons did you...
Sorry?
reasonably clear. Okay, Councillor Stiers.
I think I had moved actually, but it wasn't seconded, that the wording in 4.3.2 is very clear that, whether we need to say we note the additional mitigation measures over part of the roof, but nevertheless, the local planning authority does not consider that there could be a satisfactory solar construction traffic roof through Holmwood. The proposed construction management plan therefore conflicts with the requirements of policy T1 of the North Hertfordshire District Submission Local Plan 2011-2031. So I will move that, Chair.
Members, are you consent?
Yes, sir.
There will now be a final vote.